to the book of James, chapter 1. The one conference up at Covenant Baptist Church in Troy, Michigan, the Detroit area, begins this Friday. So seek the Lord's blessings upon the brethren as they gather together Friday evening and Saturday morning. We want to read verse 1 through 12. Of James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. The grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them let love him. It appears that James, the brother of Christ, is the author of this epistle. James did not believe in Christ or upon Christ until after the resurrection. It is this James that most likely was the pastor at the church at Jerusalem, the one we read about when those councils were called together and letters were sent out concerning what had been decided. And he describes himself in verse number 1 as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is James, the brother of Jesus, he doesn't glory in that. He doesn't take pride in that. He doesn't say, oh, by the way, I'm the brother of Jesus. I'm the brother of the Lord. He says, I'm just a servant of God. And he also acknowledges that he is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, which displays to us that he was a true believer. He was a follower of Almighty God, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. In this wording, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he acknowledges the divinity and the deity of Jesus Christ. And he writes this epistle to the 12 tribes which are scattered, meaning he wrote it to Jewish believers. That's what the 12 tribes represents. And I believe the 12 tribes which are scattered has reference to the persecution that came on the heels of the stoning of Stephen. and the work of the Apostle Paul. We're told in Acts chapter 8, verse number 4, that they were scattered and they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And so this epistle is written to Jewish believers who were, in my opinion, members of the church at Jerusalem, that because of the persecution that arose, were scattered everywhere. And he writes unto those Jews, which would be scattered everywhere, these words of instruction, these words of testing, these words of proving themselves to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. It is said that Romans gives us justification by faith. James gives us justification by works. One is justified and declared justified by God when they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the focus of Romans. The focus of the book of James is that a person is justified by their works. No contradiction. No different thought. One is saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one proves themselves to be saved and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by the works that they do. You're justified by faith when you receive Christ, and you're justified by when you evidence Christ within your life. And that's really the theme of the book of James, was writing to these Jewish believers, former church members that had been persecuted and scattered, to make sure they evidence their salvation. Make sure they made full proof of their salvation. And in verse number 12, the theme, the main focus of this first chapter and these verses we've just read has to do with affliction, temptations, trials. And if these are those that had been scattered upon the persecution of Stephen and the work of the Apostle Paul, they were going through great distress. They were going through great trials. They were going through great afflictions. They were going through great temptations. And the first thing that James deals with in his epistle, chapter 1, has to do with those afflictions, those difficulties, those trials. There are many kinds of afflictions. There are many kinds of trials. There are many kinds of temptations. And you can find a few of them listed in our text this morning. But we want to draw our attention and we want to make our focus verse number 12. And in verse number 12, James writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The word blessed here is used similar to the way it's used in the Beatitudes. Blessed. Fortunate. Well off. Blessed is the one that endureth temptation, goes through persecution, is under affliction. Like the Beatitudes, he declares, blessed are those who you really wouldn't expect to consider themselves blessed. Blessed are those that mourn. You wouldn't really put a state of blessedness with being in a state of mourning. But he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And the word endureth here means one, not that who, that has escaped, temptation. Not one that has passed by temptation. But the blessedness of the one that is described in the first part of verse number 12 is blessed is the one who is under temptation. In the midst of that temptation. One who endures. One who stays under. One who perseveres. One who remains under temptation. And in verse 2 and 3, this is reflected when he says, "My brethren," he's writing to Christians who were suffering because of their faith. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the endurance of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Count it all joy when you fall into temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the one who's not past it, not finding a way of escaping it, but blessed is the one who's smack dab in the middle of temptation, who is going through the affliction, one of the kinds of afflictions that this passage of Scripture speaks of. He says, second of all, in verse number 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, who is in the midst, who's under affliction. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." The word "tried" here means approved. Means approved. Means having passed the grade. It means passing. And so we're told, blessed is the man who is under, who endures temptation, because the one who endures temptation will pass the test and he will receive a crown of life. When he is tried, when he is approved by that testing, he shall receive a crown of life. In James chapter 5, verse number 10 and 11. "Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an ensample of suffering, affliction, and patience." Take the prophets for an example of those who suffered afflictions and their patience and their enduring. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord." You've heard of the patience of Job and you have seen the end result of the Lord. You know how the story ended up with Job, don't you? He suffered greatly. He would not curse his God and die. He endured. So he was blessed in his enduring his affliction. And the end of his affliction was his being approved of God. "And we have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And the end of Job's story has him more blessed than he was when it all started. So blessed is the man who endures. Fortunate, well off, blessed. Not he that escapes, but he who stays under. He who perseveres, he who remains, he who endures, just stays there and patiently waits upon the Lord to have this thing pass. For when he is tried or approved, when he gets past the affliction, he receives a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of life, as it is described in verse number 12. This crown of life, this sign of approval, this evidence that he had been enduring and now has passed the grade, speaks of a future. You're under endurance and affliction, and you should patiently endure it, and blessed are you if you patiently endure it. When you're past it and you have been tried and given a passing grade, you will be given a crown of life in recognition of what has been accomplished. But being given a crown of life in recognition of enduring and passing the test points us towards the future. Why are you given a crown of life if there isn't a tomorrow, if there isn't a future, if heaven isn't in view? When we find the crown spoken of in the New Testament, they're almost all in reference to having accomplished, having passed the grade, receiving the crown of life at the end of our life successfully lived. And they're always looking towards eternity. Eternity. And the third thing in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endures, that stays under, that perseveres, that remains under temptation. For when he has passed the test, when he is approved, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has not promised everybody. We'll be looking at and considering particular redemption, limited atonement, answering the question, Lord willing, if time permits tonight, answering the question, for whom did Christ die? To whom was the promise of God given here in this 12th verse? Blessing is pronounced upon those that endure, those that pass the test and are approved. There is a crown of life, and God has promised the crown of life to all those that love him. It's a promise that God makes only to his people. Not all people, not everybody, but by identifying them as those that love him, he's speaking about his people. His people are the ones in mind. Saved people are the ones that James is talking about in verse number 12. It's saved people who endure temptation. It's saved people who are approved, who pass that test and receive a crown of life. It is saved people that God gave his promises to. It was those that loved him, and the only way anybody can be said to love God is if God first loved them. James chapter 2, Verse number 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Still talking to saved folks. There's many times, I forgot to write down the number, but there's many times that James uses the word brethren. From the very second verse of the book through the fifth chapter, he speaks to the brethren often. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? Hath not God chosen the poor of the world, but those who are saved by faith, rich in faith, those that are heirs of the kingdom? Those who God has chosen, those that are rich in faith, those that are heirs of the kingdom, God has promised these things too. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4, we find Paul mentioning a crown of righteousness. He says in verse 7 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have endured. I have been under temptation and trial and affliction. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have been tried. I have been found approved. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to everybody, without exception. No, it doesn't say that. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. And not only to me, but he's going to give it to all those that love his appearing. All those that love his appearing, who love him, who are looking for him. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Mostly because we don't get Deuteronomy very often in the preaching of sermons. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant in mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. What a blessed verse. The Lord thy God, he is God. He's the faithful God. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. He keeps his covenants with us. He shows mercy. His mercy endures forever. He keeps his covenant and continues to show mercy to those that love him to 1,000 generations, kind of like saying to infinity. So blessed is the man, the woman, the child, who is one of God's people. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, stays under, perseveres, remains, hangs in there, doesn't quit on God, doesn't seek an escape, doesn't look for an easy way out. But blessed is the one who just endures. Endures. When he is approved, he shall receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. What's the point of our text today? What's the point of what verse number 12 reveals to us in the message this morning? Some call the book of James a practical guide to Christian life and conduct. A practical guide to Christian life and conduct. Another one called the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. Proverbs of the New Testament. Many look at the book of James as providing a series of tests, chapter by chapter, a series of tests which prove the genuineness of a person's faith. So what's the point of all he has to say about afflictions, temptations, and trials? What's the point of his saying, blessed is the one who endures? The one who is approved will receive a crown. The Lord has promised a crown to all those that love him. What's the point? The point is enduring affliction, difficulty, temptation is one of the evidences of genuine faith. You're saved by putting your faith, by being given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere in the book of James, I forgot to take note of it. It says, some might say, Show me my salvation by my faith. I'll show you my salvation by my works. We're not saved by works, but works give evidence of our salvation. We're justified when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ at salvation when we're saved. And we justify our faith, we justify our claim to be saved by the works that we do. The first thing that James deals with is enduring afflictions. You prove your faith is genuine. You prove you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ by the evidence of enduring it, enduring the persecution. God never promised it would be easy. God never promised there would be rose petals all over the path, all the way through our life. But he has promised grace. He has promised that all of his grace would be sufficient to meet our needs. And sometimes God brings into our life great affliction, great trial, great temptation. And it's not his will to bring us into those things and then to quickly remove. It's not his will to have us avoid those things. It's not his will for us to find ourselves under great affliction and then pray and 5 seconds later no longer have the problem. Sometimes it's his will for us to endure. Sometimes it's his will for us to go through these trials and temptations and these afflictions. And we prove the genuineness of our faith by our enduring. Christianity is not for cowards. Christianity is not proven by just pointing to the blessings of God. Sometimes Christianity is proven by our enduring temptation. Maybe you're in a time of affliction, and it may be God's will for you to endure. Stick it out. Be careful to pray that God would instantly and immediately remove all the difficulties that come into your life, because it may be His will for you to experience that to show the genuineness of your faith. What we're talking about is not easy. What we're talking about is not always comfortable. What we're talking about sometimes is difficult. To endure temptation, to fall into divers temptations, to be tested and tried. Sometimes we're the most uncomfortable people in the world, but God wants us to endure. God wants us to bear up under. For His honor and His glory. For the sake of your testimony. I think one outline that I came across in my looking at the book of James had 13 tests that prove the genuineness of a person's faith that are found in the book of James. I don't reckon the Lord's going to bring us back to James or are looking at any of those. But next time you go through the book of James, or you read through the book of James, or you study through the book of James, look for those tests. Look for those things that God brings into your life that prove the genuineness of your faith. We're saved when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a gift of God and a work of God's grace. We're justified in our claims. We're justified in telling people we're a Christian by our enduring temptation. And many times it is God's will that we endure. Keep that in mind when the yoke feels heavier than you anticipated or expected it. The point of the message this morning is blessed, happy are those that endure by their enduring affliction and temptation. They justify their claim to be a child of God. Let's stand together.